So the question is this, or it's just a statement actually, because I believe why this question arose was because there are a lot of maybe individuals, maybe those who are going to uni, maybe single families who live far apart, and there's no genuine opportunity, you know, to engage in probably collective worship. I know there's a strong desire to know God personally, but for ongoing purposes, there's no genuine, there's no real kind of bonding or gelling, you know, to be able to meet locally. So this was the statement that came. It says, it is not enough being a member of a church. You must desire and seek to be part of the body of Christ. Discourse. So it's kind of a okay, it's more like a statement actually. It says, it is not enough being a member of a church. You must desire and seek to be part of the body of Christ. Discourse.
Church and body of Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
Or maybe they want more information surrounding why to authenticate that.
Make it bigger, Ruby.
Take it bigger and they're up.
So people are at the back.
Well, Mark, you want to make an attempt?
Well, anybody who's as qualified as I am to speak on this.
Come.
You know, it depends what you mean by the word church. I think there's two meanings of the word church. Church being an outward thing, an organized gathering. But who's the Greek scholar here? The actual meaning of that word. Can anybody help me with that? It means the called out, doesn't it? And you know, you can be called out, amen, and you have to be called out of something. So what were you called out of? Well, first of all, you were called out of the world, weren't you?
Yeah.
But some of you came out of the world and you came into something else that was not the real body of Christ. You came into an organization. And some of you, in coming out of the world, actually came out of Babylon, out of a harlot system. So we're called out, amen, but we are also to be called into Christ. One of the best examples I can think of is that the children of Israel were called out of Egypt. And where did they go first when they came out of Egypt? They came into the wilderness. But the wilderness was not God's final plan for them. Even though some of them probably spent their whole life there, 40 years is a long time. But the wilderness is not God's plan for his people. It's not the final destination. That's the right word to use. Amen. So we are called out, but we are also called in. And it wasn't until the crossing of the Jordan that they began to experience the crossing in. And I think that Chijoki, in his drawing here the other day, he had a place in one of these where the crossing was actually... Next one. Here we go. The crossing of the Jordan is really coming into the holy place, which I believe speaks of coming into the body of Christ.
Yes.
Because in this place is really where we come into Christ. You're very familiar with John 3, I believe it is, where Jesus talked to Nicodemus. And the first thing, do you have that up there, sister? John 3? We're going down where he was talking to Nicodemus. Okay. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here's your picture of the coming into the tabernacle. We come in, and when we come to this place, we're now qualified to see the kingdom of God. And I believe the kingdom of God, again, speaks with this holy place, this holy of holies place. The kingdom of God is not in its fullness here in the outer court. It's part of, shall we say, God's church. They're God's people, but they're not in the kingdom of God. So, in other words, you can be in church and not be in the body of Christ. And you've probably experienced that yourself sometime in your life. So, the next verse, now, when you're born again, you can see. How many times have you talked to people, you're trying to tell them kingdom things, and they say, I don't know, brother, I just don't see it like that. I just can't see what you're talking about. And, you know, there was a time that I couldn't see. And it wasn't until I began to hear the message, the kingdom message that the brethren were preaching, and then my eyes were opened up and I could see. And then the next thing, he says, except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we come to the brazen labor, and now we are qualified to enter in, but it doesn't mean that we have immediately entered in. It gives you the privilege now and the ability to enter in. Well, I don't know, you don't want to go on for an hour, but there's a brief, my description of what I believe the difference is.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Brother Barry, I don't know, does that come across in what some time?
Okay.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Please explain what you mean by quote. You might use your marriage as an excuse that I am married.
What do you call what being married?
For
in parable. Marriage.
Okay.
What
well,
is married
and why? If I remember maybe correctly, trying to get a context, in which I said that, we have many reasons and excuses in life that we give to probably not respond to the demands of the call. You know, one of the things I believe God has been trying to get across to us here is that if you respond to this call, nothing is sacrosanct. Praise the name of the Lord. There's no aspect of your life that the Lord cannot make a demand of you. That's one of the reasons I encourage the brethren to read about the lives of men who have gone before us. You know, men like Hudson Taylor, praise the name of the Lord. There are certain men who, by virtue of the work that they were called into, there are times of separation. Praise the name of the Lord. And I believe that what God requires of us is to put everything down on the table in very practical terms. We have shielded ourselves so long. You know, we used to, in Nigeria, we used to see bombing and all those things before, as something that used to happen in Pakistan and Iran. You understand? And you read it in the papers, it doesn't make any meaning to you. Eventually, the thing came home. You know, and now it's part of our life. Praise the name of the Lord. So you live in an environment where anything is possible. You know, and it could be the same thing with you. You may feel you live so far away from what's happening. But the truth is that it's something that is going to run across the globe. No part will be spared. You know, so sometimes, unless we make certain decisions ahead of time, say, Lord, everything is on the table. Praise the name of the Lord. Everything is on the table.
On the altar.
On the altar. Sorry, sorry, table. Thank you very much, sir. Everything, because, I mean, is on the altar. And it must be on the altar. There are things you hold so dearly. You may not know how dearly you hold a thing. But the one that thing is actually, you understand, required of you. And then suddenly you find that thing, you treasure it much more than God. You know. So I believe that nothing is out of God's reach. You know, I think that seems to be the context in which probably I say what I say. Praise the name of the Lord. That we don't have any excuses. You know, when God asked Abraham for his son, there was no excuse. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Well, Chiduke, there's one for you there. It's quite straightforward, so I guess you're able to attend to it. Mm-hmm. How do you practicalize these things? What do we need to do to go up higher in Christ? I read and study the Word, but want to go higher, we need to know how, in practical terms, what else do we need to do? So, preaching is very deep and gets lost sometimes. Gets lost. Just get lost in the Word.
Amen. Oh, well, first thing, it's good that this question is coming. So it means somebody is listening and somebody is responding. It's very practical. So the question is how can we go higher? And we go higher by doing just one thing. Open your mind. You go higher by opening your mind. Very good. So I'm happy you're also thinking and you're asking questions. Because the idea is to provoke you and provoke me to go back to the drawing board. Like the person said, sometimes it is true, the word can go above the head. And it's not practical. So how can I open my mind? How can I climb higher? You know, and I always say to us, there are a few practical points. One point is to realize that there is a ladder, how to climb. And if God opens a door for you, you have to go through that door. Sometimes we want to go through other doors, but there's no point going that way because it's just be a waste of time. Now the way to go up, the way to open up the mind is the tabernacle. It looks simple, you know. And to many people, well, let me not say many people, to myself, there was a time the tabernacle was a concept. Again, I don't know if that is going above the head. It was an idea. It was abstract. Just a picture, you know. I remember the first time I read the book Pattern, my God. I said, where is this man coming from? The whole thing was just over my head, you know. I went through it, but it was just up there, you know. But I remember the time came.
You want to join it with this one, because I think it's about the same thing.
Okay.
Jump to it. See, there are seven stages in the tabernacle, and the golden altar represents the offering of the soul. The golden altar experience different from the experience of breaking through the veil. They can add to
okay. But there was a time when God began to break it down for me, and I saw that it was all about my mind. The tabernacle is about the mind. If you look at the tabernacle, it has everything is square. The square speaks of the four natures of the soul, and that's at one level. If you go a bit higher, it speaks of the four dimensions of the mind. The mind has four dimensions. If you go even higher, you come into the conscience, which has its own dimension. We're not even talking of that. But we are still breaking it down. So the question is, how do I go up in Christ? And the answer is, you have to go take the steps, the first levels, the second level, in the tabernacle. And what are the levels? Egypt is where we start, outside the tabernacle, and that's darkness. Outer court, wilderness, a place of dryness, holy place. These are experiences of the soul, of the mind. So the next step is, how do I practically open my mind? To realize that, you have to, the whole message today is speaking of the inward man, clothing the inward man. The inward man has a nature of light or darkness. So the inward man has to grow, has to change from a nature of darkness to a nature of light. The nature you wear is a garment for priesthood to bring an offering. The garment you wear determine who gets the offering. So in other words, you are trying to change the functioning of your inward man, the way it functions. And yesterday we were looking at scriptures that tells us that the soul must eat. The soul is a junkie. It has to have energy. Okay, if you don't give it the right energy, whatever energy it gets, it takes. And that energy may embarrass you. So the question, how do you open the mind? And the scripture tells us, a famous one, Joshua 1:9, what does it say? This book, 1:8-9, yes. This book of the law shall not depart from your hand. Yes, I did it so that the image will stick to you. It's what we teach in the school. The mind is a house of images. It's a light that changes the way you function. So you open the mind to the word. The mind is the mouth of the soul. The mind is the entrance into the, and in the mind you have senses. The senses in your body are in the mind. God sees, God has no physical eyes. So the mind is created in the nature and the image of God. And the scripture says, he that created the eyes, can he not see? He that created the ears, does he not hear? You understand? So the senses on your physical head are in your spiritual head, which is the mind. The head of the soul is the mind. If the soul is going to climb up and rise, it's the mind. But the natural mind is fallen. So the natural mind has the nature of a creeping, of, I use the word serpentine, it's ruled by the belly. In other words, the natural mind is ruled by the emotions and the desire. That is, those two words, English people call it passions. But you see, in the wilderness, there are two giants you have to overcome to enter the promised land. Og and Sihon. Okay, Og speaks of the belly, the desire. Sihon speaks of temper, the emotions. Those are the two giants. You have to slay them to get in. So for you to rise spiritually, for you to open your mind spiritually, you have to determine to make a switch, and that is what Brother Berry was talking about. My life is not going to be ruled by my desires and my emotions, passion. And the lifestyle of today, which is very exciting, is that of entertainment. You know, so the television, you know, so you go through it, you know. So, like you said, what are you working for? You work so that you can go home and buy a 100 screen inch television so that the images are more real. Of course, and that one costs a lot of money. So you have to do 5 jobs so that you can have enough money to pay your rent, have extra to buy the 100 inch screen. Okay, and that becomes the symbol of success. You know, of course. So instead of driving, you can buy a Jaguar. You can buy a Jaguar. All right? So it's all the same thing. It all comes down to the same thing. So practically, to change, like, is that I have to say to myself, I have to open my mind. And like she asked me, to what? The Word of God. All right. So that it will open your mind, for the mind to change into the things of God, it has to come under the pressure of the Word of God. You know, someone says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The word doesn't just fly into your mind. You have to hide it. You have to receive it. You have to memorize it. You have to think about it. And those of us in the profession, you know, when they teach you diabetes in medical school, they teach you from different sources. They teach you in chemistry, they teach you in pathology, they teach you. You hear it at different times, different places. After some time, it becomes a part of you. You understand? That's how it is with the things of God. So if you want the mind to be fixed on God, say that will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is what? Stayed. The mind can stay in God. Say they that wait upon the Lord. And then the mind will begin to say, our mount up with wings as eagle. So the question is, to change the mind means to decide to change my lifestyle, my pattern of life. How much time do I spend on the world? How much time? So I personally, I saw that I could listen to a message every day. I have gone from listening to a message every day to listening to messages every day. Okay, it's possible. Yeah, and every one of us can do it. But, you know, so it depends. And if you set your mind to it, you will see. When we traveled to Ukraine, Brother Jim said to me, his sister taught them how to read the Psalms. Okay, this is June. This is February. He said he taught them how to read the Psalms. I said, ah, really? So you read the Psalms, the whole time in a month. And as we're driving, I looked at it and I said, is it possible? So I said to myself, I'll do it. And I did it. It was so difficult. Sometimes I missed 4 days. 4 days means the way, because this is 5 chapters of the Psalms every day. When you start up, today is the fifth. So it's practical. Today is the 5th of the month. So if we're going to do it, that means anything that has 5 in the Psalms, you read it. So you read Psalm 1, Psalm 5, Psalm 35, Psalm 65, Psalm 95, Psalm 125. Then when you go to Proverbs, there are 1 Proverbs for you every day. So you will take Proverbs and you add to it. All right? And initially it was so hard. I missed about 5 days. I told my wife, I said, I must do it. And it was like a war, but I did it. And as I was reading it, I was marking it. Now I enjoy it. Now, as a brother was preaching, I was somewhere else, and I said, God, well, I need to add something else to it. So I'm designing a program that will add other things to my already Psalms that I'm reading. Now, I saw that when I'm doing that, some of my usual manner, I mean, there are some, I have to read, you know, read some newspapers, I have to read, check this. Some of those ones, I have to cut them off or reduce the time in which because I must read my Psalms, I must read my Proverbs, and now I want to add some other things onto that program. So that's the natural way. And I saw that the more I was doing this, my mind was lighter. My mind was faster in the things of God. So as I was talking to people, Psalms will come to me. And let me tell you something. When I began to read the Psalms, I found something. That God is real. Someone says, I cried unto the Lord. And what did he do? And not just that. And he delivered me. When God hears you, he touches you. He does something to you. And he delivered you. So I found out that God is real and living. You know, so that is a practical way of how to make the mind. And then I did something else. Practically. Now I found out that when I leave house and I go to work, immediately I get into the car going home, I'm lost. Because I'm taking a walk, I have to see this patient, I have this meeting, this. I don't know who I am again until I come back home. So I said to my wife, I'm going to change that. I must win. If I win between the time I leave my house to the time I come back, then I found Daniel's method. You know Daniel's method? He prayed 3 times. So I saw that if I could have a time during the day to bring my mind back again, you know, so I began to do that, and I saw that my mind was more under, you know, was much more disciplined than it should be. You know, so you can do it. You can work out your own schedule. You know the things you do, you know, and you can work out a program in which, you know, your mind is constantly under the power and authority of Christ. This other question about there are 7 stages in the tabernacle, and the golden altar represents the offering of the soul. Is the golden altar experience different from the experience of breaking through the veil? Well, this one is technical now. The way it is, you can say it's different, but it's actually the same. Because the offering of the soul is actually what we are doing now. We are going into the soul. What it says is that on the day of atonement, you have to afflict the soul. In other words, you have to change the lifestyle of the soul. You have to change the way you function. Now, how do you function? The soul is the mind, the emotions, and the desire, and that is what you have to bring. That is, you know, what you offer to God. You make Christ the head of the soul. But you see, you cannot make Christ the head of the soul when you do not have a personal relationship. When you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So the offering of the soul begins with restoring a practical relationship with Jesus. Put it the right way. Offering of the soul means to fall in love again with Jesus. You know, so where Jesus is no longer a concept, where Jesus is no longer a supermarket, but a friend. You know that Jesus is the beginning, he's the middle, he's the end. It's all and all. You know, so you come to the point where you have a fresh revelation of Christ. You see him afresh, and you begin to give yourself to him. You bring your thoughts, your emotions, and your desire, and you submit it to Christ. So it's a practical thing. Now the veil, according to the scripture, tells us, Hebrews 10 says that Jesus broke through his veil, which is his flesh. So the veil speaks of the flesh. But what is the flesh? The flesh is the soul that has not been brought under the influence of the Spirit. That is the soul. Alright? So, flesh means when I do things without the influence of the Spirit of God. Give you an example from my own standpoint. I can preach about many things. Okay, I have notes, things that God has said to me. I can preach to you in the flesh. That means I may want to display to you the knowledge I have. That's flesh. You know, but I can, of course, with time you learn that God speaks to his people. So I have to learn to allow God to talk to his people. He may talk to him outside of my book. I may not even open my book, but God still speaks to his people. You know, so that is a walk with God. Then I begin to learn that someone tells you, write a report. You know, and you can write a report based on your experience. So, well, I know what to do. But someone says, write a report, and you go to God. I say, I know what to do, but please, can you just help me? Can you just open my eyes? Give me wisdom how to write this report. Two people have written a report. One wrote by the Spirit, and one wrote by the flesh. One is depending on his experience. The other one says, well, even though I know it's still... and, you know, so walking by the Spirit, breaking through the veil, is a practical thing. You know, breaking through the veil means setting aside man, setting aside my experience, you know, my, you know, I'm not depending on myself, you know. You can do it. Someone says, well, you have a challenge. Look at your bank account, you have the money. So, you just go ahead and do it. But someone else can do it, and he's not even looking at his bank account. He has a challenge. He goes to God and say, well, what do I do? You know? And God might take you completely out of your bank account and even get somebody else to solve the problem for you. You know, so that is breaking through the flesh. That is breaking through the veil. That is offering your mind to God. I remember when I got married, I never prayed. I had my calculator. I had my book, so I was calculating everything, how I would buy all the things. And I didn't need God because I had my head, so I could plan everything out. You know, so... with time, you learn that your head is not important. You know that you can set it aside and you go to God and say, God, show me what to do. Give me wisdom. You know, and then God begins to lead you. And so it's a way to. That is practically how to, you know, how to break through the veil, how to come out of the flesh. You know, and I found that Nigerians are book people. We are strong in the head, you know. So sometimes it's very difficult. You can calculate everything with your mind, you know. But when God begins to lead you, you set aside man's wisdom, and then you depend on the wisdom of the Spirit. And the wisdom of the Spirit, you know, brings. You can feel the Spirit of God ministering and touching the people instead of ministering out of your wisdom, out of knowledge that you have. Yeah.
I just want to say something about the issue of going higher in Christ practically. We've been hearing these words, and then yesterday this statement about the mind must come under the pressure of the word of God really struck me. And I know God has told me over time that the secret is to have the word of God in you, that I was like, sometimes you read the word and it's not really making an impact. Then the way the girl was ministering, he said something about, you know, the mind is store, what is store, and how much you store is what will be revealed. And, you know, I was wondering over it, and he said something about appetite. It hit me for the first time, you know. I know that when you spend your mind on, when you spend time on the things that are not of God, it dulls your senses towards God. And I was just praying, God, well, what do I do? I really want this. And the Lord told me the way to do it, to get your mind interested in the things of God, is to bring the flesh under. And that is by fasting practically. Now, when you want to fast, it's not easy. It doesn't mean, maybe you say, I want to fast today, 6 to 6. And by 12 o'clock, you're very hungry and you're waiting for 6 to 12. But when you push yourself further, and get to that point, then tomorrow you do it again. With time, you see that your appetite for the things of the flesh, maybe you're just fasting for food, but by the time you do it one day, 2 days, you see that you lose interest in some of the other things. So when you put that, you know, make yourself, get yourself involved in what the Bible calls godliness, the exercise of godliness. You see that your appetite for the things of the world, they get reduced, like the very one thing. As you reduce your interest in the things of the world, naturally, your appetite for God increases, because those things conflict. The more I spend time on TV, the less interested I'm in the Word of God. So when I begin to fast, the desire for TV goes down, and the desire for God increases. And as it increases, the Word of God opens up more to me. So that the things that were not very easy to get into the mind by in the Word of God, you know yourself when you're writing spiritually. Not that you're just reading the Bible, you're not good reading as a study, and things are just coming in like, oh, how come I've been reading the scripture? You know, that kind of thing. So you can imagine when you do that. I think that's what is it that was saying. Godliness is like profited little, but godliness is profitable both in this world and in the world to come. So why don't I give myself to the more exercise of godliness? I would use less time for the things of the world. By doing this is not easy. I start by mortifying my flesh. This food I will not eat it this morning. I would rather eat in the night. And by the time I do it, the body is, you're telling the body, I am in charge. You can't rule me. And by the time I start telling my body that every day, he realizes that, no, I've lost it here. The enemy says I've missed this woman. She cannot get me in again. You make up your mind. As you make up your mind, you now get into the word. Because the mind, it's a tool, must feed on something. So we feed on the word, then we deprive the body. Praise the Lord.
There's something I wanted to emphasize. In the midst of it all, there's just one thing. If you look at Luke 24,
sorry.
If you look at Luke 24, can we see it? Luke 24. I've been talking about opening the mind. Luke 24. The person that opens the mind is Jesus. Luke 24:28 or so. Okay. Verse 29. One, it says they constrained him. You know, Jesus was going to go. It was a test. And as he made to go, they said, please, do not go. Come and stay with us. That is, for me, that is the first step. Do you really desire that fellowship? Do you really desire to be healed? Do you desire to go higher? God is going to test you. All right? You will have examples and reasons, you know, not to be with Christ. You know, like Ebere was saying, the question about marriage. Yes, marriage can be a reason. A very good reason. You know, work can be, money can be, examination, career, different things. And God is going to give you that opportunity. You know, there was a time they offered me a very big job in the hospital. It was there. You know, so it was mine to decide, do I want it or not? And someone said to me, if you take it, you are dead. If you take that job, you are dead. I left it. I went to my friend. I said, I don't want it. After 2 weeks, I went back to him. Please, I want that job. Then I went back. God said, if you touch it, you are dead. I went back to him. I don't want it again. Then after about 2 weeks, I went back again. He said, look, my friend, decide what you want. And in my soul, I was torn into bits. You know. Okay. In my soul, I was torn into bits. I said, God, why are you doing this to me? You know I love this job. God says, if you take it, you're dead. You know, so it's very practical. You know, you have to decide. Then number two, okay, he said, and as it came to, as they sat at this, he took the bread and broke it, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. It is that relationship with Christ that opens the mind. So the closer you come to the Lord, He is the one that opens the eyes of understanding. and he is one that begins to bless. So if you want to climb up higher, get close and abide in his presence. Get to know him. And as you do that, you see that it will go up higher.
Can I add a little bit?
Yes.
There is one thing from that I had to deal with my dealt with my life, and the problem is, and it's in Revelation chapter 2, the letter to First Church, and the problem is I wanted somehow God, but I wanted also other things, and I couldn't decide because I had not enough power or enough fire to do it, to the strength to make the decision. And in Revelation it says that to the first church that I know thy works and labor and patience and also so God knows that we love the church. We love the church work, we love all those things. But God said that one thing I have against you, that you lost the fire, very first love. Because, you know, so we, when we left our first love, it means we lost the first experience in the tabernacle. Because the fire that we need for later steps, we get it here.
Amen.
So we, if we have no fire for God, we need to go in the beginning and repent.
Amen.
If we don't repent, we will not get the fire.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I think we're about closing now. I think we don't have any more questions. The youth meeting starts by 3 in this hall, and then the evening meeting is 7:30. Do you have the packs or lunch or something? Okay. Okay. So those who book for lunch, it's available. So the next session is by 7:30. Praise God. Brother Lass, do you want to go and pray and just close us for this session?